The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
All these weeks later, I'm still in complete shock. I wasn't expecting it. I rang my mum and I was like, I said to her, I was like, Mum, are you sitting down? Like, you need to make sure you're sitting down for this. And she was in total shock too. And I also then rang my dad, who was also at work, and told him. And I think the three of us were just in utter shock. And to be honest, it still feels really surreal even now. And I'm beyond grateful to have received one, but it's still, I don't think it's really still sunk in yet. I've had so many messages from people in the netball community and wider, and I've had so many positive reactions as well from the South Asian community. And I've had so many messages from people as well who have been inspired by my journey and who have said that they want to get back into sport or start sport or even, you know, do some volunteering themselves. And that's really important to me, and that really makes me so happy.
I've always had a passion for working with people with disabilities, and everyone talks about it being so high on the agenda of how we need to be doing more things for people with disabilities, and it's such a priority. Yet personally, I don't think people are doing enough. Or they're talking the talk, but not walking the walk, should we say. So I decided to, after I left England Netball, do you know what? I'm going to walk the walk with Para Netball and see what I can actually do. If it's something I'm passionate about, actually go along with it and set something up, which I did back in 2021, setting up Para Netball under Domino's Netball Club initially. Ran under them for a year, which was fantastic, having that really community focus. Obviously in Gorton and that area around Manchester, ahead of, I guess, Thunder coming along and jumping on the opportunity and seeing where we can take it to kind of wider audiences as well. To know that, you know, we're not just doing one thing or another thing, we're trying to attract different audiences to give as many people the opportunity as possible.
As London Pulse, we're creating a shoe exchange. So essentially, we're trying to collect as many used or unwanted trainers that we can then sort of distribute to the different secondary schools around our community, so that all the students there have, you know, a suitable pair of sports trainers for PE lessons, for sports outside of school. We really want to get people involved as much as possible, whether that's netball or that's other sports.
Obviously, when I came over, I came from 27 plus degrees in South Africa. No different at all. But the moment, yeah, I've set my feet on Manchester ground, it was freezing. But I was prepared, like everyone like prepared me and said, oh, bring your jackets and everything. And all of my jackets were in my little suitcase that was on the plane. And I just immediately put it on the moment I arrived. But you know what? It's something else. Like, I've been now at teams with sunny weather, and this is more, almost want to say, like a challenge for me to see how I'm going to have a good netball performance while the weather is very much different from what I'm used to.
How are you getting on with the Manchester accent?
Oh, my goodness. So sometimes they talk very fast, and I really need to almost go and stand with my ear against their mouth, because I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. And even it's even worse when they look away and they talk to you, because you're like, oh, I don't know what you're saying. So can you please repeat that? Or I just try and make out a few words and put them together and hope for the best that I guess it right.
It's something we've been working on behind the scenes for at least 6 months now, just speaking to our kind of, I guess, our community, our customers, and looking at what are maybe some of the barriers to playing netball, particularly at social level, or for those that, you know, play outdoors or are coming back from perhaps having babies or teenage girls. And that's why we've kind of launched this campaign, Choice Beats Tradition, just to, you know, really open up the sport even more to encourage more participation and just make it a really friendly space for absolutely everyone. It doesn't need to be that you can only play whilst wearing a dress. And we just wanted to highlight that and bring it all together in a really fun campaign. It's an important message, but we can, you know, get it across in a really fun way. And hopefully that has come across really well. If then somebody at a club is seeing it and then they're taking that back to their committee and then, you know, posing the question of, oh, can we add some more inclusive kit options in our kit for next season? You know, that's brilliant. That's exactly the response we want.
obviously it was railroaded a bit by COVID, but I'm really thrilled that now we have a really clean logo. We've got some really great team logos that are all work in synergy. And I'm just really thrilled to be able to bring this to life. It's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes, involving a lot of phases. So yeah, really thrilled that it's finally becoming a reality. I think I'll have a massive grin on my face when I'm in Bangor for the first event, because just seeing it actually on court and seeing all the players in their clubs will be, yeah, really, really exciting and rewarding as well.
I wasn't allowed to play after primary school because for high school and for the older ages, it was only girls. So it was hard at the time because a lot of my friends were playing, and I became quite good friends with a lot of the girls on the Burnley netball team. And when it got round to games and tournaments, I wasn't allowed to play. But I came round it by getting involved into netball, by going into umpiring and coaching.
Massive credit to you, because despite all the prejudice that you faced, you've never given up.
Yeah, because it is hard at that age, being told that you weren't allowed and then thinking like, right, what's the point of all this? Where's all this going to go? But I'm really glad I just didn't give up because of where I am now.
Special relationship the Thorns have with the Roses as well. So what's that like for you?
I think it's really good that the Roses and the Thorns are very connected, especially how the Roses have accepted the Thorns into the training. And they all love playing against the Thorns because it challenged them. And it's good what Jess has done implementing that, because we come in and play against these girls that at the start it was very like daunting, because you went in and it was like, oh, we're playing against the Roses, like you watch these on TV. And but then you're actually like on the same court as them, and like just even listening to them talk to each other on court is just mind-blowing.
AO has been a great sponsor, and I know that's just a little cheat, receiving a coffee machine and an air fryer and a television, but it's just nice to see that we've got that support from a company.
Who controls the TV remote, and who makes a better cappuccino?
Andy, who do you think between me and Lenny is controlling the remote? I would say let's make it equal. Yeah, Lenny will most probably have more control over the TV remote. And then I'm more of the coffee snob, so I'm better making coffee.
Nia Jones, what have you made of Rhino's season? Because let's be fair, you're at the wrong end of the table.
Hi, Andy. Yeah. Oh, what a way to start. Thanks so much.
We get the negativity out of the way first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like saving the best bit of your tea to last, isn't it? You eat the veg you're not really keen on to start with.
Right. Pies to end.
Yeah, we knew that they were reviewing their Super Netball program and that they were hemorrhaging money with really low crowds and, yeah, just problems trying to get a following at that club. They've struggled since the very beginning. They've been in existence for 7 years now. And, yeah, you turn on your TV a lot of the time and you think, is anyone even there? In their very first game of the season, they had 1,500 people turn up, and the best game beyond that was the Melbourne Derby, which is probably more attributed to Vixens fans than Collingwood. So, yeah, they've really been struggling. And as we know, netball really relies on ticket sales and memberships to make revenue. So not doing so well in that area. And today they've confirmed that they will not be part of the Super Netball League in 2024.
When we launched the Adventure Strategy a couple of years ago now, one of the key parts of the strategy was to be a game for life. And what we really wanted to understand was what that actually means and how we can best support women and girls at every key life stage. So we looked at all of the stats and looked at what that meant. And there was some hard hitting facts that made us realise that we need to do something about it. So 41% of teenage girls pause or drop out of netball, and key reasons for that around periods and also around their body image and being conscious of their body. And we really need to do something to support those girls to make sure they don't drop out. And then another sort of key stat for us was around pregnancy. So from a netball perspective, 20% of women who stop playing due to pregnancy never return to the game. So again, we needed to understand what that meant and what to do about that. So we basically had that insight and said, okay, well, as a sport, we've got an unapologetic focus on women and girls. What should we be doing to support those women and girls at every life stage? So we basically got the development team together and a few others from across the organisation. And we said, okay, we know we've got this insight. We know we need to do something about women and girls. And so we invited Baz and Emma, the other co-founder of The Well, in to talk to us about female health and how we could best support women and girls across each life stage.
And I think it was that day, I think it was the first time many people in that room had heard some of the words that Emma and I used. And it was kind of like a moment of like, oh, like, is this something that netball can actually talk about? And suddenly then everyone just started talking, didn't they? And they're like, this happens to me and this happens to me. And I coach people like that. And this absolutely needs to be something. And I don't think we were ever really brought in for that day to do. I think we were just brought in for a little bit of inspiration and a little bit, something a little bit different after COVID. Mm-hmm. And then I think as we were there and started talking, people started to realize, oh, this could potentially grow, but it has taken a huge amount of time. You know, that was nearly 2 years ago now, wasn't it? Like nearly 2 years ago in that summer of 2021. And literally since then, we've kind of been working on like where we've got to today.
Today, Australian time, we were expecting to learn the 12 players and the 3 reserves are going to go to the World Cup in Cape Town next month. In fact, no, the players had been emailed on Monday that they were not going to get a phone call to tell them their World Cup fate on Tuesday. And look, this depends on who you talk to and who you necessarily believe in a two-sided debate. Netball Australia basically said they wanted to get the collective player agreement, which is specifically for the Diamonds, so the national team. This is different to the collective player agreement that is for the entire Super Netball League, which is also still up in the air at the moment. So Netball Australia has essentially said to those players, we want to sign this agreement. We want it done before we notify the successful players and for it to be announced. The Australian Netball Players Association was quite taken aback by this. They didn't realise that the two things were going to be linked. And there's a lot of strong feelings out there about, is the diamond dress being held ransom in what is, essentially an industrial dispute at the moment. So I've been able to get my hands on one of the emails that Netball Australia sent to the squad members and also to high performance staff across the sort of Super Netball ecosystem that really spells out that because the diamond CPA and player contract issues haven't been resolved, they're not going to notify the players of the selection decision. So we have 19 players that are in the full squad. Obviously 12 are going to go and then 3 reserves, as nations can do this year for the World Cup, who are in limbo.
It was a real shock when I saw that letter. I could see through the window that it said in confidence, and I could see at the top it said from a ceremonial officer, so I knew it was something special. So, but when I opened it, I was completely overwhelmed. I stopped doing what I was doing and I went back into the house to sort of show my husband. But it was an amazing, amazing moment, a fantastic honour. Yeah, I feel really privileged. When you receive an honour like this, it's for the journey that you've been on. And I've had so many opportunities. And actually, I have to say thank you to England Netball. It gave me my very first big opportunity to take on a leadership responsibility. And as a CEO, first time around when I was only 28. And, you know, they trusted me with it and had great support from the volunteers and the team that I worked with there. So that's why I stayed there for over 15 years. It was nearly 16 years. And and I loved every minute of it.
Hi, I'm Jeeva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Marika, Netball World Cup in South Africa just around the corner. How much of an honour is it to represent your country?
I don't think there's anything that can actually explain representing your country until you've been there. I think every opportunity is such a great honour and a privilege, and you take so much pride in putting your country's dress over your head and singing that anthem, and even more so when you get to play a World Cup on home soil. I'm very content with the decision I made and when I made it, but I will be supporting from the sidelines, definitely.
The growth from when I was first trying to get into a World Cup to now my third World Cup has been huge, not only in a leadership role, but also who I am as a player on and off the court. So a lot has changed, but I've learned a lot along the way, and I look forward to hopefully sharing that with all the players that are in the squad, because I think we've got about 7 new cats.
Yeah,
well, new, not new cats, but they're new to playing a World Cup. It'll be their first World Cup, so a lot of people will be experiencing first within this competition.
What would be your advice to them?
Soak it all in, but know that you've done the hard work behind the scenes and have the confidence that you're here for a reason and to be fearless out on court.
We knew there was going to be an amazing atmosphere because there always is when you go to Africa, but it was next level. I've never experienced anything like it. Players couldn't talk to each other on court. We couldn't get messages to them. We, you know, I was effectively redundant as a coach. Nobody could hear me. So it was a real experience. It was an amazing atmosphere. But I think in that first quarter against them, we really found it hard to work out what to do and how to communicate and how to function collectively. So we had quite a tough first quarter against them. We really made them earn their win. We really made them earn the applause of their fans.
I honestly can't fault them for their pride that they've shown, and to even just to get to this point was a massive ask. Don't mistake that in any way as complacency. We prepared exactly the same. I know the girls' effort was there, but we just weren't quite smart enough against a seasoned finalist team. You know, the difference between being in 12 of them and us being in for the first time. You can see the difference today, which is a shame. You know, like, we're sorry to our fans at home, we couldn't keep that margin a bit tighter. I thought deep in that first half to keep a foothold in the game. But I always felt that we were just a little bit more hesitant today than what we have been. We needed ice relentless defensively. We rely so much on that defensive back four. And I thought they did put a big shift in, but we lost to a better team today. And whilst that's disappointing, hopefully over the course of the next few days, we can look at those silver medals and still feel incredibly proud.
Getting to that final and gaining that extra bit of visibility and the growth of following as we progress through the week, it's special moments like that that don't come around very often that really allow us to propel the growth of the sport. So we prepare long and hard for moments like this at England Netball. We make sure that our legacy plans are firmly in place. We've learned lessons from 2018 on the Gold Coast and from a Home World Cup in 2019. And we know that major events afford us moments of visibility like nothing else. So over the course of the next month, we've got 500 sessions, programmes running across the country. So whether you're 5 or 95, there'll be a programme for you, whether that's B netball, back to netball, walking netball. And we're already seeing fans and future participants flock to those sessions. So 150,000 people have already popped in their postcodes to try to find a session near them.
I want to look at Jo Weston's Netball World Cup. She's often taken for granted, but maybe that Clough and Bruce combo saw her have maybe less time on court than she would have liked.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think, you know, obviously early on in the rounds, Australia rotated all of their different combinations and was kind of testing things out. And I totally agree with you. They didn't really play Jo Weston a lot. But then when it came to the crunch time and in those big games and big moments, she was the one that came through with the goods. I thought she was pivotal in the win against Jamaica and really important, obviously, in the gold medal match against England as well. She got some great little tips and I think, you know, hand to some ball that obviously ended up being really crucial, as I mentioned. So, yeah, I think as a whole, if you were looking at it, you would have said she was quiet early on. But, you know, in those situations, different players stand up in different moments. And I think when the time really counted, she was there and really performed for the Diamonds.
What about Ash Braz against Nat Metcalf?
Yeah, well, I think last year at Commonwealth Games, I would have said Brazil definitely got the edge over Metcalf there. And then when it got to the rounds, I thought, oh, wow, you know, Nat's obviously gone and done her homework and looked at that game from last year and gone, well, I could have been so much better and where are some areas that I could have improved? And then obviously, once again, I just seem to think that they have a bit of a battle and it's just, you know, it depends on who's on top of their game. Obviously, Ash Brazil's retiring from the sport of netball now, so we won't get to see that battle anymore. But yeah, I would have said Nat probably got on top of Braz earlier on in the week when England won by 1 point in the rounds. But once again, I think, you know, that experience and that attention to detail from the Diamonds really shone in the big game and in that gold medal match. And when the cream of the crop have to rise, they all really stood up and played their individual roles. I think during the rounds, sometimes when the competition or opposition's a little bit weaker at times, you know, you see some really standout performances. You spoke about Bruce and Clough down that defensive end, but some of the unsung heroes were a Jo Weston and even a Jamie Lee Price that just when the time counted and they needed certain players to stand up, different players didn't. And we weren't speaking about just the same names all the time. Yeah, there was different players in different moments. And that's probably the collective whole and why the Diamonds are so strong.
T, Knights national champions, how proud are you of just that team?
I can't even put it into words, Andy. Obviously, it's been a long time coming. The men have done phenomenally well to reach the finals each year. The first year for me was one of the hardest losses, because I do truly and I still believe that actually that game was ours and we lost it. Last year, credit to Giants, they were phenomenal and we didn't have any answers. This year, we knew we had answers. We knew that we'd been training incredibly hard in the build-up of it. We'd strengthened in areas of the court that we hadn't had strength in before. This year, we had depth in our bench. You know, any of those boys, men, could have taken and been part of my starting seven. And that is a huge, huge difference. And that is credit to those guys. They've worked incredibly hard. You know, we've had Taylor come in, whose PT elements have made sure that these boys are fit, going from 8-minute quarters to suddenly then a full 15 in a final. That, after a full weekend, is really tough on your body. But yeah, the boys made sure that they were prepped and prepared, and they did me incredibly proud.
It's been a couple of months in the making. There's numerous reasons for the change. So we're one of, I think, only two teams in the Super League that don't have sort of a geographical hook in their name. Celtic was becoming a little bit confusing as well, because it doesn't just refer to Wales. It's you know, Scotland, Northern Ireland, parts of Cornwall are known as Celtic as well. But ultimately, Andy, Cardiff is where the team play. It's where they train. It's where the majority of the players live. And Cardiff is an absolute hub of innovation, hospitality, sustainability, creativity. So aligning ourselves to Cardiff as the capital city, where the big stadiums are, just makes absolute sense. There's already four professional sports clubs in Cardiff. So there's Cardiff City Football Club, Cardiff Rugby Club, Cardiff Devils Ice Hockey Club, and the Glamorgan Cricket all play out of Cardiff. So we're essentially adding a fifth into that. And whilst we're not fully professional yet like them, we're well on the way. So being a female-first sports team in that mix of male-dominated sports clubs is a really exciting thing for us to do.
I'm definitely a coach and a person who just loves to develop people. We're all human beings at the end of the day. So I've absolutely loved that space. I'm very much a coach who likes to develop the player off the court. And that's just something that I take pride on, that hopefully I can bring to the Warriors as well.
And it's important as well that these younger players, maybe don't like to use the term, but they're exposed to top international players at the very best.
It is. And I think it's just important about how we do that. So, you know, putting them in there with those experienced players. You know, if I was in there as a young player, as a wing defence, you know, I definitely want a Jeeva mentor behind me. What an amazing thing that is. wouldn't everyone? Leeds Rhinos are very fortunate this year. But it's just carefully, and how we do it is the key thing. And you can definitely see that shining through in our Super League as well.
No doubt something that you'll be keen to bring to the Warriors themselves is just building their growth and strengthening the pathway as well.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. So I guess the tagline that I have with the girls at the moment is the Warriors are built with plenty of heart and they play with lots of grit. And that's, I guess, a sentence that I have come up with them just from when I've watched them over the years. That's how I feel like they play as a team. And I guess looking at the system itself, I'm trying to bring in all the experiences that I have into there, even just changing little things like selection process and things like that, and developing a Warriors way of playing so that, you know, as they come through the system, they're all playing similar and the coaches in the pathways know what we're looking for and what we need to really drive the Warriors through. So, yeah, I love that kind of stuff as a coach and a person. So, yeah, I'm trying to embed it as quickly as I can in the Warriors.
As a sports advisory group, we have been looking to unlock the men's game for quite a while and trying to be prioritising it for the last few years. But the group as it stood at the time didn't have any real knowledge of the men's game. So that's where we contacted Emna and said, look, we'd really like to bring men's netball into Bucks, but we need some help, because to become a Bucks sport, you need quite a lot of evidence. And you can't just become a Bucks sport overnight, as Jen is finding out. But it's been great to have Emna on board to help us do that, because, like I say, we didn't have the expertise on our group.
Jen, things like this don't just happen. Give us a brief idea of some of that planning that's gone into it.
Briefly, absolutely. It's quite a comprehensive process that you have to go to try and get new sports into Bucks, which men's netball is considered one. And there's a lot of work needing to be done to evidence the demand and interest from the students and how it's going to be set up and what resources are in place to support it. So we've been doing a lot of that work already. It's really nice that a lot of students and universities have already heard about EMNA, either through different clubs or through nationals and social media, and have an understanding. But in terms of actually formalising a men's team that's set up and able to compete, that part's not quite done yet. So what we're trying to do now is really push forward with holding our first official event for men's university netball, which will take place on the 11th of November at University of Wolverhampton. And hopefully through that, it sort of gives a lot of universities the nudge that they need to really get a team together and start competing.
If we're going to do more teams, fine, but then you've got to put in the infrastructure behind it. You've got to have a better coach development system. We've got to get to a point where players are that fully professional, so we've not got this huge gap which we've got at the moment. So more teams is fine, but the quality has to be there, which means you've got to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. So I reckon it'd be more a case of, you know, who comes in, what does that look like, who are the right teams to take us forward, and you know, really push the league to the next level.
And we obviously both lived through what happened at Wasps, maybe an appreciation of what you were trying to achieve at the time. But that tie-in with the existing sports brand, having that structure in place as well, that'll be quite key for any of these applicants, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to say it gave you security. And at the time, it felt like that. And obviously, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. And to be fair, Wasps, with COVID and everything else, no one foresaw that coming. But yeah, I think multi-sports across similar brands, you know, what we're doing at Saracens Mavericks, the female rugby, the male rugby and the netball, it's huge. And it's just the support you get around it. You know, my role now in full time is to work across the performance of netball. And it means I get to integrate and work with the guys and the ladies that are running the rugby world as well, and seeing how that all works and sits across. And there's so much key learnings you can have across multi-sports, and there's so much support with sponsors across the board and all the team behind the team that you get. So I personally think it's a big way forward, and we do need to look at that. This is going to be commercially driven, which is why Claire Nelson is the right person for it, and the clubs will have to align with that, because it's the only way it will work and survive.
There are not many opportunities for people to come together and actually have an hour and a half to eat and chill and dance together, because usually everybody's involved in netball and you've got a team to go and coach or a game to go and umpire or some netball to support. So there's very little time that you can actually sit and have a great conversation, reminisce. You know, we had Jean Robinson in the room, who's one of the oldest surviving Rose players. She was captain in the kind of 60s, and she stood up and said quite a moving speech about where her reflections were around how netball's moved forward since when she was playing. And those things are just really, really special. So to have people from across the whole country together, you know, every region had at least a couple of tables of people in the room, and you could see the friendships that had formed and the connections from different tournaments or different players that people have developed or experiences they've had. And that is just, they don't happen very often. So to be in a role where we've got a team who can make that happen and create that environment is really, really special.
We will make sure that the number of teams reflects the quality of clubs that can take us on our journey. And what sits underneath that is a lot of working around different models, business models, formatting, competition, you know, there's recruitment, salary bands. There's so many parts that all go into this that all need to work together to make sure that what we deliver as a product is exciting and compelling. And that means good quality netball on the court. That means we need to have the best players playing in the best environment. We need strong talent pathways, strong resource. And I want to see all teams joining this league going, we want to win it. I want to see uncertainty of outcome and really to the wire exciting games week in, week out. So that's absolutely fundamental to what we're building and will sit at the heart of all of our plans.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.